Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and sitting here with me is my incredible co-host, Core. How's it going, Core?
Hey Jack, I'm doing fantastic. It's great to be here with all our listeners. Can't wait to dive into today's topics. We've got an exciting lineup for you.
Absolutely. Today we're going to break down the latest advancements in AI, delve into some groundbreaking Web 3.0 developments, and of course, we've got to touch on some recent political and business events that are shaping the tech world.
That's right, Jack. And as always, we're going to keep it dynamic. A little debate, a bit of humor. What more could you ask for?
Aha, exactly. C-O-R-R. We've got some hot takes coming your way. But first, let's welcome all our new listeners. Thanks for joining us on this journey. Buckle up, because it's going to be a thrill ride.
And to our loyal regulars, welcome back. Your support means the world to us. We love hearing your feedback, so don't forget to reach out on social media after the show.
All right, let's get into it. C-O-R-R, what's our first topic of the day?
Well, Jack, we've got some juicy content. First up is a deep dive into OpenAI's latest model and its implications on everything from search engines to customer service.
Nice. There's so much buzz around that. We're also going to look at how Web 3.0 is disrupting traditional industries. Spoiler alert, it's not just about Bitcoin anymore.
And in the world of politics and business, big moves by tech giants, new regulations on the horizon, and what it all means for the future of innovation.
So grab your coffee, sit back, relax, and let's get started.
We've got a lot to cover, and as always, it's going to be one heck of a conversation. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Let's dive right back in, Core. You know, it's fascinating how ChatGPT is popping up everywhere. At first, it was just a chatbot you'd interact with through a browser. Now, Microsoft's got it built right into Windows 11. Looking Glass is using it to create holographic interactions, and Solana's even using it to help people get started with Web3.
It's like AI is becoming the Swiss Army knife of tech.
Exactly, Jack. And talking about Solana's integration, it's about making the blockchain more accessible, right? A lot of people are still wary or confused by the whole crypto space. Having an AI tool that can guide new users through the process of setting up a wallet and making transactions is a big step toward mainstream adoption. It takes away some of the friction.
Absolutely. Speaking of friction, let's talk about Microsoft's decision to integrate ChatGPT into Windows 11. On one hand, it's a brilliant move for making AI more accessible to everyday users. On the other hand, it raises some concerns about security and data privacy.
If everything you do on your computer could potentially be analyzed by an AI, where do you draw the line?
And don't forget about the built-in system libraries and malware scans. There's always the concern that integrating something as complex as a chatbot into an operating system could open up new vulnerabilities. Even though the system libraries are on a separate, cryptographically signed, read-only disk volume, there's still a lot that can go wrong when you start linking to non-system libraries.
It's a balance, isn't it? The more integrated these systems become, the greater the utility, but also the higher the risk. But on a lighter note, did you hear about the price hike in Microsoft's Xbox consoles? Up to $600 for the Series X and $380 for the Series S. Yikes. I guess they've got to make up for the inflation somehow.
Yeah, that's quite a jump. It's almost like Microsoft is playing catch up with Sony, which already raised prices on the PlayStation 5 in some regions. But with the economic downturn and everything getting more expensive, I wonder if gamers will be willing to shell out more cash.
Probably complaining about it on social media while still lining up to buy it on release day. Gamers are a passionate bunch. But circling back to AI, there's a Brooklyn-based company, Looking Glass, that's taking this integration to the next level by using ChatGPT to produce holograms. Imagine having a chat with a holographic assistant that seems almost human.
It's like we're living in a sci-fi novel. The possibilities are endless: education, customer service, even medical consultations. It's cool to see how companies are leveraging AI to create innovative solutions. On the flip side, though, with great innovation comes the possibility of greater privacy concerns, just like with Microsoft's integration into Windows 11.
And Apple's not far behind in the AI game either. Despite their struggling quarterly earnings, they're sticking to their plans of sourcing billions of chips from the U.S. No wonder they're feeling the tariff pinch, adding $900 million in costs. Tim Cook must be seeing this as a long-term play. They're betting big on AI and manufacturing capabilities.
Long-term indeed. Apple's strategy always seems to pivot around securing their supply chain and maintaining their brand's integrity. But let's not forget, they avoided the whole unionization hiccup at Whole Foods. Well, kind of. The labor board rejected their effort to overturn the vote in Philadelphia, so now they've got to engage in collective bargaining.
It's not just Apple feeling the heat. Block, Inc. saw its shares tank after a rough first quarter, and Amazon is bracing for a tougher business environment, too. Between tariffs, inflation, and slowing economies in key regions like China, it's a tough climate for tech giants right now.
Yeah, and yet, in the midst of all this economic uncertainty, there's optimism too. Take Apple's low to mid single-digit growth forecast, for example. It's not stellar, but it's growth nonetheless. And Duolingo's buzzing with an uptick in subscribers thanks to their new AI offerings. Seems like the AI boom is injecting some life into businesses, even as they navigate choppy waters.
The impact of AI is undeniable, whether it's driving holograms or helping language learners. What do you think of Reddit's performance, though? Their stock is up because of strong ad revenue, which contradicts the concerns about a weak economy. Maybe digital advertising in niche markets is more resilient than we thought.
It might be the case. People are still engaging a lot online, and it shows that targeted digital advertising has staying power. Plus, these platforms have vast troves of user data to fine-tune their ad strategies. But, well, let's not even start on the hacking issues in the UK with Harrods and other retailers. It's like whack-a-mole with cybersecurity threats.
That's a whole other can of worms. But hey, at least we're seeing an uptick in innovation across the board. Like Uber releasing a simpler app for older adults and even crypto firms trying to make staking more palatable to regulators. It's a mixed bag, but there's a lot to be hopeful about in the tech space.
Agreed. It's all interconnected and evolving. From price hikes to regulatory challenges, AI integrations to market shifts, it's an exciting and tumultuous time. Just hang on and enjoy the ride.
So Core, let's dive into this whole Anubis thing. It's designed to protect against AI scraper bots and seems pretty effective. Have you read much about it?
Oh, absolutely, Jack. I think it's fascinating how it checks parameters like user agents and looks for oddities in the connection. It's like having a bouncer that only lets in the good customers and kicks out the shady ones. Very 21st century nightclub vibe.
Ah, that's a good analogy. What I love is the elegance of it. For regular users, they just see a loading screen, but for attackers, it's like trying to break into Fort Knox. They exhaust their own resources before making any progress.
Right, and it's smart because it tackles both the dumb bots and the clever ones. The dumb ones just get blocked, and the clever ones waste so much of their own CPU time that it becomes pointless for them to continue. Not to mention server load becomes way lower.
It's interesting, though, how this is also doubling as a DDoS protection mechanism. By blocking out these resource-heavy bots, you're also preventing your server from getting overwhelmed by too many requests at once. It's like the Swiss Army knife of server protection, isn't it?
Exactly. It's like hitting two birds with one stone. And what I think is really cool is the customizable bot policy definitions. You can tailor it to fit your specific needs. It's almost as customizable as a Build-A-Bear, but for cybersecurity.
Haha, Build-A-Bear for cybersecurity, I love it. What's also intriguing is how this affects AI companies that rely on web scraping. They need to wake up to the fact that running these operations at a large scale is expensive with high CPU usage.
Yeah, and that's the crux of it. Anubis makes the scraping process cost prohibitive for AI companies because CPU time isn't cheap. It's like having the most sophisticated mousetrap that only activates when the mice are really costing you.
Totally. This brings us to another fascinating development, the integration of Claude with remote MCP servers. Developers can enhance Claude's capabilities by building and hosting these servers. What do you think about that?
Jack, it's a game changer. Think about it. Now Claude can connect with tools like Intercom to respond faster to user feedback and even file bugs in Linear when issues are reported. It's like having a super efficient assistant that doesn't miss a thing.
And it does this using the MCP protocol, which essentially allows the AI to interact with various tool sets seamlessly.
Imagine running complex research or debugging workflows all from one conversation with Claude. It's like having an AI butler that handles everything.
Or better yet, an AI butler who files your taxes on your behalf. Efficient, reliable, and resourceful. Plus, it's in beta on the Macs, team, and enterprise plans, so it's ready for some serious adoption.
It's like we're seeing a convergence of AI tools into one super hub of productivity. And it's crucial because with tools like these, user feedback isn't just collected, it's acted upon in real time. Businesses can be more agile, responding faster than ever before.
Definitely. And this focus on integrating more AI into practical, real-world applications is essential as we progress. It's not just about fancy algorithms anymore, but how seamlessly these tools can be brought into everyday business operations.
Speaking of bringing AI into everyday life, what do you make of the UK exploring using Google Wallet ID passes for stuff like alcohol purchases?
That's both amazing and slightly terrifying, Jack. On the one hand, convenience and tech savviness are through the roof. But on the other hand, there's this looming privacy issue. It's a fine line, helpful tech versus overreach.
It's true. There's so much potential in seamlessly integrating digital identities into our daily lives. But yeah, we definitely have to be careful about how far we go. I mean, we're talking about using AI not just for convenience, but for potentially sensitive activities.
Exactly. It's like wielding a double-edged sword. It's powerful technology, but it comes with its own set of risks and ethical considerations. It's thrilling and nerve-wracking all at the same time.
Ultimately, all these advances mean we're moving towards more interactive, intelligent, and responsive systems. Whether it's AI protecting websites or integrating seamlessly into enterprise workflows, we're witnessing the future unfold in real time.
Absolutely, Jack. The future is now, and it's both exciting and overwhelming. The real focus should be on striking a balance where tech advancements meet ethical standards succinctly.
Agreed. And I can't wait to see how these developments will shape our daily lives and work environments. It's a brave new world out there, and we're right in the middle of it.
Indeed, Jack. Here's to hoping the future of AI integration turns out to be the utopia we all envision.
So, continuing on the point about how much things have changed, let's talk about disgust among consumers and tech and business. This is especially relevant with all these corporate scandals and data privacy issues we've been seeing.
Absolutely, Jack. I mean, take Facebook, sorry, Meta. The amount of distrust and outright disgust people have towards them right now is through the roof. How many times have they promised to protect user data only to get caught in yet another breach or scandal?
Oh, exactly. And it's not just Meta. Look at the backlash around Amazon with their labor practices. Just last week, their workers were, what was it, Core, walking out of a warehouse in protest?
Yeah, it was in Alabama. Workers were protesting against poor working conditions and unfair labor practices. This kind of stuff hits hard. People used to love Amazon for their quick deliveries, but increasingly, there's this queasy feeling consumers get knowing what goes on behind the scenes.
And speaking of queasy, let's not forget Elon Musk's Twitter. I mean, Tesla has a cult following, but Twitter has just been a playground for all kinds of impulsive decisions since he took over. People are genuinely appalled.
No kidding. Musk's approach is often hailed as visionary, but sometimes it's just erratic. Like when he decided to make verification a paid service and then rolled it back because it led to chaos.
Right. And that doesn't even touch on the whole crypto debacles lately. The amount of scams and rug pulls have created a landscape filled with distrust. Are you following the FTX meltdown saga?
Of course. That whole scenario is a goldmine for tech and business analysts. It's a perfect example of a platform that once inspired trust, but is now met with sheer disgust after manipulators and fraudsters were exposed.
Exactly. And beyond the business realm, we've got politics interweaving into these tech giants, like how the U.S. government is now scrutinizing tech firms for political bias and privacy concerns. It's like one big soap opera, but with much higher stakes.
Laughs. Oh, definitely. It's not just a U.S. phenomenon either. Across the globe, governments are tightening the reins. The EU continues to push for more rigid data protection laws. Remember the whole GDPR craze?
Oh, I do. Businesses were scrambling to comply or face heavy penalties. It was like watching a slow-motion panic attack. But let's pivot slightly. What do you think this growing disgust means for new startups? Can they leverage this and build trust from the ground up?
That's an interesting point. New startups have an enormous opportunity here. Trust is a rare currency right now. Whoever can build it, keep it, and actually deliver on their promises could effectively disrupt established players. Transparency and ethical practices must be at the core.
Definitely agree. It's like what we're seeing with decentralized platforms. Do you think decentralization is a pathway to rebuilding trust?
Decentralization could be part of the solution. The very premise is that no single entity has undue power or control, but it's not foolproof. Even decentralized platforms can have issues, as we've seen with some shady DeFi projects.
True. Each new technology or business model brings its own set of challenges. But hopefully, this heightened awareness and desire for transparency and ethical practices will push the whole industry to evolve for the better.
Fingers crossed, Jack. It's a wild ride, but in a way, it's what keeps this space so fascinating. Now, let's switch gears a bit.
So, Core, when we look at these integrations, it's almost like we're getting a Swiss Army knife for developers. Services like Atlassian's Jira and Confluent, Zapier, Cloudflare, the list goes on. These integrations provide endless possibilities for automation and efficiency. It's a complete game changer.
Absolutely, Jack. I mean, imagine being a developer and setting up these integrations in just under 30 minutes. I remember the days when this would take weeks, if not months. It's like a buffet of productivity tools, and you get to pick whatever you need, whenever you need it.
And it's not just about the speed, but the functionality too. Cloudflare comes with built-in OAuth authentication, practically making security a piece of cake. Remember when setting up authentication used to be as painful as pulling teeth?
Don't remind me. It's like those bad old days are gone for good. But speaking of making user experiences better, have you seen how digital IDs are rolling out to more US states?
Yeah, that's a big one. I was reading about how residents in places like Arkansas and Puerto Rico can now save their government-issued IDs to Google Wallet. No more fumbling through your wallet at the DMV. It's all there on your phone.
And then think about the implications of that. Soon, you can use your digital ID for things like recovering Amazon accounts or accessing online health services. It's not just about convenience. It's about expanding what we can do digitally in a secure way.
Speaking of security, the integration of zero-knowledge proof technology is pretty slick. Verifying your age without compromising your identity, that's huge, especially with apps like Bumble jumping aboard.
Agreed. And opening up these technologies to other wallets and services really sets a new standard. But let's not ignore the elephant in the room. Apple's ongoing tango with Epic Games and how Stripe is stepping up to support developers with payment processing.
Oh, the Apple-Epic saga. The gift that keeps on giving. With Stripe enabling iOS developers to bypass Apple's cut, it's a huge win for app developers. I mean, Apple taking a 30% commission is basically highway robbery.
And Stripe's 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction is way more reasonable. But there's a trade-off. Developers have to set up and maintain their own payment pages, which isn't exactly plug and play.
Right. But when you're saving up to 27% of your revenue, it's worth the effort. Remember the backlash when Apple only dropped their commission to 27% and added scare screens? Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers didn't mince words in her ruling against Apple's practices.
Apple's behavior is like a masterclass in how not to treat your developers. Remember that testimony from Apple's VP of Finance, filled with misdirection? It's wild how much they've worked to sidestep the court's orders.
It all feels very Big Brother-ish to me. But let's pivot back to the positive. I love how digital advancements are pushing boundaries in multiple industries. For example, the move to integrate digital assets like Bitcoin into state retirement plans is something else.
Yes. North Carolina's new bill could let the state treasurer invest in digital assets and even work those into retirement plans. It's cautious with a 5% cap, but it's a start. Imagine retiring with a portfolio that includes Bitcoin.
It's all fitting into this broader trend where tech is becoming deeply embedded in finance, governance, and everyday life. Anthony Pompliano's SPAC targeting fintech and digital assets is a perfect example of where we're headed.
Exactly. And it's not just about what's happening now, but laying the groundwork for the future. I think we'll be seeing a lot more intersections of tech and traditional industries.
Indeed. We're living through a fascinating period. Every new integration or legislative change feels like another step towards a more seamlessly digital world. It's an exciting time to be involved in tech, that's for sure.
True that, Jack. And it's not just exciting for us tech geeks, but it's making life easier for everyone. From digital IDs making DMV trips a breeze to developers saving money with Stripe, it's win-win across the board.
On that note, let's keep an eye on how these trends develop. There's always more exciting stuff just around the corner. Well, that wraps up another lively episode of AI Unchained. Today, we covered quite a range, from the fast-evolving landscape of artificial intelligence to the latest shakeups in the tech business world. And of course, we couldn't resist diving into the political chess games unfolding globally.
Absolutely, Jack. We had a blast breaking down the implications of those advancements in neural networks and how they're just scratching the surface of revolutionizing industries. And who could forget our debate over the latest merger mania in Silicon Valley?
Yes. Nothing like a good tech business brawl to spice things up. And let's not sideline the political ruckus. Always a hot topic with plenty of room for heated discussion. And let's be honest, a few laughs along the way.
For sure, Jack. It's what keeps us grounded and entertained. Before we sign off, we want to thank our listeners for tuning in. Your support is what keeps us going and allows us to dive deep into these fascinating subjects.
Right on. Your feedback and engagement mean the world to us. If you have any thoughts, comments, or even topic suggestions, don't be shy. Reach out to us.
And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast if you haven't already. It really helps us reach more people who are just as passionate about these topics as we are.
So that's it for today. Thanks for joining us on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
Absolutely. And remember, the world of AI and tech is ever-changing, and we'll be here to break it all down for you. See you next time.
Take care, folks.